Well, hello to everyone listening, if you're listening on the church website or listening on CD, you'll probably know that this is David Fallows speaking. I expect most of you are folk who belong to Kilrath's Reformed Presbyterian Church, but if there's anyone else listening to this, you're very welcome to join with us. 2 weeks ago, I was in self-isolation at home, and many of you were here in the church building in Kilrath. And now, this evening, I'm the only one here in the church building, and you're all at home. And this is being recorded on Friday night, Friday the 27th of March, recorded for use on the Lord's Day, the 29th of March. And this present recording is in place of our normal morning worship service, and then I hope to do another recording in place of our evening service. And just before beginning that, a few announcements I wanted to put onto this. First of all, to say what I think you're probably all aware of anyway, that there will be no church meetings until further notice, and this is due to the present coronavirus pandemic. Then the second thing I want to say is that our moderator, the moderator of the Reformed Presbyterian Church of Ireland, Mark Lockridge, has called for our denomination to have a day of prayer in regard to the present health situation. And he has called for that to be held on Thursday, the 2nd of April. Now, I hope to send some information out to church members about this. Hopefully that will be done on Monday, and you'll get that in time for Thursday the 2nd of April. I wanted to say also in the third place that we have this present arrangement of audio recordings with the thought that by doing it this way, it means that everyone is having the same kind of worship experience. It's not that some people are watching something on a TV screen and others are just listening to something. We're all in the situation on this occasion of just listening to something, and that is a means of maintaining unity and avoiding a situation where we have the haves and the have-nots within the congregation based on technology. Then also wanted to say that our arrangements may well have to change in the light of perhaps further restrictions or other matters. This is an arrangement for this weekend, but it could change for the future. So as we come together, we would normally begin our worship service in singing praise to God. I'm not going to sing a solo for you, but I suggest this is a good psalm, and you may wish to try to sing this at home. The psalm that I've picked is 145. The A version of the psalm, and I'm going to read the first five verses here of this psalm. So after I've read this, if you're going to be singing yourselves, you can pause the recording. And these are the words we have. We're going to be thinking in this service about the name of God. And at the start of the psalm, it mentions God's name. And it says, "You I'll exalt, my God, O King, and I will bless your name always. I'll bless you every single day. Your name forever I will praise. Great is the Lord, much to be praised. His greatness fully search can none. Father to son will praise your works, tell of the mighty works you've done. Upon the glorious splendor of your majesty, my mind will dwell, and on the things that you have done, works that in wonder do excel. And man will speak of all the might of your own works that awesome are, And I in turn will also speak your greatness too, I will declare. And of your goodness that is great, the memory they will express. They'll tell it forth, they'll shout for joy at your own perfect righteousness. Psalm 145a and verses 1 to 5. Now I'm just going to say a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we praise you that you are a great and mighty God. We thank you that as you tell us here in the words of this psalm, that you're the one who is great and that you are much to be praised. And you tell us that we are unable to fully search your greatness. And we thank you that that is the case, that we come to a God who is altogether greater than we can understand. And so help us as we seek to worship you now today. We pray that you will help us to turn our thoughts to you, and we pray that we will benefit from doing so. Forgive us our sins, and help us now in this time of worship, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now I'm going to read from God's Word, and the scripture reading is from the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy. I want to read some verses in chapter 10, and then also in chapter 11 of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 10, the Bible version I'm reading from is the New King James Version. Reading from Deuteronomy chapter 10 and beginning at verse 12 and then reading through to the end of that chapter. This is God's Word. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways and to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command you today for your good. Indeed, heaven and the highest heavens belong to the Lord your God, also the earth with all that is in it. The Lord delighted only in your fathers to love them, and he chose their descendants after them, you above all peoples, as it is this day. Therefore, circumcise the foreskin of your heart, and be stiff-necked no longer. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality nor takes a bribe. He administers justice for the fatherless and the widow, and loves the stranger, giving him food and clothing. Therefore, love the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. You shall fear the Lord your God. You shall serve him, and to him you shall hold fast and take oaths in his name. He is your praise, and he is your God, who has done for you these great and awesome things which your eyes have seen. Your fathers went down to Egypt with 70 persons, and now the Lord your God has made you as the stars of heaven in multitude. And then in the next chapter, chapter 11, and reading from verse 8, therefore you shall keep every commandment which I command you today, that you may be strong and go in and possess the land which you cross over to possess, and that you may prolong your days in the land which the Lord swore to give your fathers, to them and their descendants, a land flowing with milk and honey. For the land which you go to possess is not like the land of Egypt from which you have come, where you sowed your seed and watered it by foot as a vegetable garden. But the land which you cross over to possess is a land of hills and valleys, which drinks water from the rain of heaven, a land for which the Lord your God cares. The eyes of the Lord your God are always on it, from the beginning of the year to the very end of the year. And it shall be that if you earnestly obey my commandments, which I command you today, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, then I will give you the rain for your land in its season, the early rain and the latter rain, that you may gather in your grain, your new wine, and your oil. And I will send grass in your fields for your livestock, that you may eat and be filled. Take heed to yourselves, lest your heart be deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them, lest the Lord's anger be aroused against you, and he shut up the heavens so that there be no rain, and the land yield no produce, and you perish quickly from the good land which the Lord is giving you. And we end our scripture reading there at verse 17 of Deuteronomy chapter 11. Now, at this stage in our worship service, I would normally invite the children of the congregation to come up to the front and say a few words to them. And I want to address a few words briefly to the children that are listening now today. And I want to speak to you about God's name. We're going to be speaking today, thinking today about the commandment that tells us about God's name. It's the commandment that says that we're not to take the name of the Lord our God in vain. God sees his name as being important. What is God's name? Well, that's a question that Moses asked, and Moses was given an answer in Exodus chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. It says there, "Then Moses said to God, 'Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them?' And God said to Moses, 'I am who I am.' And he said, 'Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you.'" So God says that his name is I Am. Well, that's a strange name. You'll never have come across anyone with that name. Maybe you have come across people that have strange names. I recall when my brother was at university, there was a friend came to visit our house, and her surname was Coalshed, and I thought that was a funny name. And then I also remember hearing about someone who was called Henrietta Snail. And that's a very strange and unusual name. Well, God has a strange name. God's name is I Am. And that's a name that tells us something about God. It tells us about how God is the one who has no beginning. He has always existed. He is the one who's always the same. He does not change. He's the one who, if he makes a promise, he will keep it. God is entirely reliable. He's exactly the same now as he has always been, and he is never going to change. God can call himself I Am because what he is now is what he has always been and what he always will be. And some children have a father, and sometimes they're afraid to go home to that father because they don't know what he'll be like when they go home to him. Maybe he will love them one day and it'll feel as if he hates them another day. Well, God is not like that. God is a God who never changes, and we can be sure that he will always be the God that we read of in the Bible. His name is I Am, and his name speaks to us about himself. And we'll be thinking today about how God sees his name, even his very name, as being something of great importance. Now, also in our time of worship, we normally have an offering, and we're not meeting together, so we can't have an offering in the same way as we normally would have. Our intention is that during this time of not being able to meet together, we'll try to have a monthly offering. And the first time we hope to do that will be at the end of April. And so there will be information that will be sent out to you about how we're going to go about that. But please do remember that. And that's a means by which we normally worship God, and we should still be setting aside for the Lord our tithes and our offerings. Well, we're going to come and join together now in prayer. I'm going to lead in prayer. And as I said, this is being recorded on the Friday evening, and so I'm sure a lot will happen between when this has been recorded and when you will be listening to it. And I don't know what those things are going to be, but I'm going to pray in light of the way things are as I pray. So we come to God now in prayer. Lord God in heaven, we thank you that we can look to you in prayer. We thank you that we can come to you in prayer through the work of Jesus Christ, your Son, who has opened that way for us into your presence. And we come to rejoice in your greatness and goodness. We thank you, Lord, that you don't need our help. You don't need anything from us, that you're entirely self-sufficient, and that you're never in need, never lacking anything. We thank you that you're always strong, that you're always wise, that you always do what is best. And we thank you, Lord, that you're never going to depart from those things. We praise you for your utter reliability, and we pray that you will help us to trust you from the very depth of our heart. We give thanks to you, Lord, for the measure of health that you've given to us. We thank you, Lord, for your mercies to us in that. We praise you for the blessings of the things that we are able to do. We pray for others who are not so well at the present time. We thank you, Lord, for how you have answered prayers. We've been praying in recent weeks for Nigel and Christina Christie's child that they were expecting. And we give thanks, O Lord, that in your good providence that a little girl was born to them. We pray for her, little Eva, in hospital. And we pray for her as a very fragile little girl weighing just 2 pounds. We pray, O Lord, that you will grant her growth and development, that all will go well with her progress. And we pray that in due time that she will be able to leave hospital and be home with her parents and her big brother. And we pray that that will be a day of great rejoicing. We give thanks, Lord, also for the anniversary that took place last Lord's Day when we weren't meeting. We thank you for the 50 years as elders for Charlie Knox and for William James Lockridge, and we pray for your ongoing blessing upon these men. Provide for them, O Lord. Watch over them in these days. We pray that you'll keep them safe and well, and that they might be able to continue to serve you within your church. We pray, O Lord, for those who serve in the National Health Service. We pray for many different kinds of workers and for the difficult work that they're involved in at present. We pray that you will give them energy and strength and good health in this time of health crisis. We ask, Lord, that they will be able to keep going, and we pray that you will sustain them, O Lord, and watch over them. We pray for those who are in hospital in these days. We pray for some connected with our congregation who are in hospital. We pray for them, O Lord, that you will grant them progress in their health, that they may be able to get home in due course. We pray, Lord, for those who are suffering with the coronavirus. We pray that they will get the treatment that they need. We pray that many will make a full recovery. We pray, Lord, for folk whose appointments and surgeries are going to be delayed because of the crisis that we're in at present, and we pray for them that you'll watch over them, that these things will not adversely affect them too much. We pray for folk today who are very much stuck in their own homes, not able to go out at all, depending on people leaving things on their doorstep and such like. And we pray that you will give patience in the midst of the frustrations of that. We pray, O Lord, for those who have to be out and about, those whose work requires them to be in dangerous situations. We pray for safekeeping on the roads. We pray for safekeeping for those who are working in the health service and who have contact with people who are ill and who have responsibilities for towards the people they're working with. We pray, Lord, that you would give all that's needed in these situations. We pray for wisdom for our political leaders at Stormont and at Westminster. Help them in the decisions they make as to measures that they bring in and the timing of those measures. We ask, O Lord, also for the situation in Northern Ireland with the abortion law soon to change. We pray that our assembly would be of a mind to act so that the legislation that has been released in recent days, that would not become part of the law here in Northern Ireland. We ask, Lord, for your mercies in that. And we look to you, Lord, in the midst of these very testing and trying times. We pray that you will reveal yourself as a God of great mercy and great compassion. And we thank you that you're a God who delights in bringing great good out of evil. We thank you that you're the God who delights in saving sinners. And we pray, O God, that many in these days, their thoughts would turn to you, that in all the uncertainties of life, that they will desire to know something that is certain. And we pray, O God, that many people will find salvation in Jesus Christ, and that they would look back to these difficult days as being the time when for them life truly began. Lord, hear these our prayers. Show us your truth as we consider your word. And we pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the last few times that I was preaching in Karatz, I've been preaching on the commandments, and we covered the first commandment about having no other gods, and then the second commandment about not making for ourselves a carved image and not using those things to worship God. And now we come to what we know as the third commandment. It's found in Exodus chapter 20 at verse 7. And it says, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain." Imagine for a moment that God decided that he was going to judge the whole earth on the basis of how we have kept one of his Ten Commandments. And God randomly chooses one of the Ten Commandments, and that becomes the one that forms the whole basis of God's judgment. And how things go within the nations of this earth all hang upon the level of obedience there has been to that commandment. And God picks the third commandment. How would the world fare if God were to assess us solely on obedience to this commandment? How would God look upon us if all he thought about was, have the people of the world, have they hallowed my name? Have they sought to not take my name in vain? Have they used my name as they should have used my name? Well, if you think about that, you would be very fearful. You would think that God would have to come against his world in judgment. And we're told that God will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. This is a commandment that is very solemn and serious. To many people, it's nothing at all. To many people, how the name of God is handled is nothing. It just doesn't matter. But it matters to God. And God, when he gave the Ten Commandments, he set this as the third of the Ten Commandments. As far as God is concerned, the things that are spoken of in this commandment really do matter. Now, as is the case with many of the commandments, it is put negatively. It tells us what we're not to do. We're not to take God's name in vain, or we're not to misuse the name of God. But the implication is that we are to use the name of God. We're to use it in the right way. We're forbidden to use it in the wrong way, but God expects us to use it in the right way. Now, in recent days, we have heard often from our leading politicians at Westminster. We have heard often from our Prime Minister. And he has told us many things about the present situation that we're going through with this pandemic. But he hasn't told us anything about God. He hasn't used the name of God. It's as if God doesn't exist. And so he has failed to take up the name of God. And that is a breaking of the commandment just as much as the positive misuse of the name of God. What does God mean when he talks about his name? Well, God's name is much more than just a word or several words. God's name stands for all that God is. God's name speaks to us of his being, of his nature, of his self. And it's very easy for us to think about this commandment and to think that this is one that we're pretty good at keeping. And I think we need to think again about that. The first purpose of the law of God, the first purpose of the commandments, is to show us our sin. God needs to convince us that we are sinners. And God will want us to understand that we are sinners in regard to the things dealt with in this commandment. The shorter catechism, when it deals with the commandments, after it has dealt with each individual commandment, there's a question comes at number 82, and it says, "Is any man able perfectly to keep the commandments of God?" And the answer is that no mere man since the fall is able in this life perfectly to keep the commandments of God, but doth daily break them in thought, word, and deed. All of us are mere men. Only the Lord Jesus was something more than a mere man. And we all break the third commandment daily. We break it in terms of what we think, in terms of what we say, and in terms of what we do. And I want to speak about those things. But just before going on to that, I want to comment on how the first three commandments can be thought of as fitting together. And you could think of these first three commandments that all of them, in a sense, deal with worship. The first commandment tells us who we are to worship. The second commandment is about the outward form of our worship. We're not to make use of any idols. And the third commandment can be thought of as speaking about the inner attitude of our heart in worship. So let's think about how we break this commandment in our thoughts, words, and deeds. And I want to begin in the place that we're most familiar with in speaking about our words. We break this commandment through our words. And equally, we must strive to keep this commandment through our words. And this is how we would normally think of this commandment, that it's all about words. Well, it is about words, but as we'll see, it's about more than just words. We think of this commandment being broken when people thoughtlessly use the name of God or the name of Jesus, when people use it as a swear word. And we hear it all the time. Some of you will hear it all the time in your workplace. There'll be people who can hardly seem to put a few sentences together without misusing the name of God or the name of God's Son. Some of you here at school, you'll hear it again and again and again. It's a sin, and it's present everywhere. You hear it on the TV, and you hear it on the radio, and you can hardly avoid it. And the danger is that because it's all around us, we can begin to think that it's not really all that important. God sees it as important. There's a book on the Ten Commandments written some years ago by a man called Brian Edwards. And when he wrote that book, he looked up the dictionary that he had at home, and he looked up the word Jesus. And in his dictionary, the definition for Jesus was this: an exclamation of surprise, dismay, etc. And then, in square brackets, there was an added explanation. It said, name of the founder of the Christian religion, died around AD 30. So in other words, according to that dictionary, the word Jesus is to be understood first and foremost as a common expletive, and it's only to be understood secondarily as the name of the founder of Christianity. And what a dreadful reality that is, when the most common use of the name Jesus is as a swear word, rather than his name being used in the proper way. And how Satan must rejoice that this is the way things are. Now, there are many people who use the name of God as a swear word or the name of Jesus, and they do so completely unthinkingly. They're not aware that they're giving offense to any human being, and they have no thought that they're giving offense to the God who truly exists. It's just a habit, and for many, it's something they've picked up at home. They've learnt it from their youngest days. How sad it is to hear little boys and girls taking God's name in vain. If they knew God, they wouldn't be doing that. But this is the way it is in our society. The name of God is misused, it's taken in vain, in so many settings and occasions. That's not the only way in which the name of God is misused or is taken in vain. Sometimes people try to use the name of God as a lever to get other people to do what they want. If I was to tell you in this recording that God had told me that Kilrath's RP Church should sell the manse and the church building and the grounds and give all the proceeds that came from that sale to me, if I told you that God had told me that, I think you would be rather suspicious. But, you see, that's what people sometimes do. People claim that God has told them something, and they try to get other people to do things, and they use the name of God as a lever to try to get their own heart's desire. They use the name of God, and they use it in an utterly wrong way. Well, clearly, we can break this commandment through our use of words. And we need to strive to be careful to avoid using God's name in a wrong way. And we also need to strive to use it in a right way. We break it by our words. Secondly, we break it in our thoughts. And here I want you to realize that it is in the very worship of God that we so often break this commandment. We come together rightly when we have opportunity in order to worship the true God. And it's good to worship the true God in the right way, but you can be worshiping God in the right way, avoiding the use of any images and so on, and you can still sin in your worship of God. You can sin by having the wrong thoughts about God. Isaiah 30, verse 19, find these words. The Lord says, "These people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is made up only of rules taught by man." Worshiping God is not just a matter of sticking to rules. It's not even just a matter of sticking to God's rules. It is a matter of the heart. Where are your thoughts when you come to worship God? When you open your book of praise and you sing words in praise to Almighty God, do you really mean those words that you're singing? Or are you taking God's name in vain? Are you singing about God or singing to God without having any thought of God? Do you sometimes sing about Him as your Lord and your King, but you deny Him that place in your life? He's not your Lord and He's not your King. Or do you sometimes sing about Him as being your shepherd, and yet you don't follow Him? You go your own way in life. Brian Edwards writes that it has been well said that Christians do not tell lies, they just sing them. We can be praising God with our words, but we're not praising Him with our hearts. And our thoughts are elsewhere. It is the name of God that is upon our lips, but there's no thought of God upon our hearts. Our thoughts are at home. Our thoughts are about our work. Our thoughts are about what's coming up tomorrow. We're using the name of God, but we're not meaning it. And that is to take his name in vain, and that is to misuse the name of God. In our worship, we can take God's name in vain in our prayers. And we use his name, but we're not really thinking about coming into the presence of God. Every time we worship God and our heart is not really in it, we break this commandment. And so we are in a situation where we, if we don't worship God, we are sinning by failing to worship him. And when we do worship God, we're also sinning because we're not using his name as we truly should. And so how deep is the corruption of our hearts? How deep is our sin? And God needs to tell us that this is a serious thing. When we use his name and we're not using it as we should, we can break this commandment with our words, but we can also break it in our thoughts. And then thirdly, we can break this commandment in our actions. And we can keep this commandment through our actions. And here I want to speak particularly to those of you who have committed yourselves to being followers of Jesus Christ, to those who are seeking to be disciples of Jesus. And for you, Christ is your only hope of eternal life. Well, I want you to understand that you, as a Christian, that you can break this commandment without even uttering a single word. To take God's name means more than just to speak God's name. It means to lift up his name. It means to take his name for yourself. It is to identify yourself with God. You'll be familiar with that verse in 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. I'm sure it's often been quoted these days, where it says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves," and so on. Well, God says, "My people who are called by my name." God describes his people as those who are called by his name. And today it's the case that those of us who are trusting in Jesus Christ, we have the honor of being called by God's name. We are called Christians. We're called by the name of Christ, who is God the Son. And we take his name for ourselves. And when we take his name for ourselves, we have to live up to that name. And in the scriptures, we're warned about what will happen if we don't live up to this great name. If those of us who are called by God's name, if we don't live up to that name, what will happen? 2 Samuel 12, verse 14, the prophet Nathan confronted David with his sin. And he told him that by doing what he had done, he had made the enemies of the Lord blaspheme. They were blaspheming God because of what David, God's servant, had done. Similarly, in the New Testament, Romans chapter 2, verse 24, Paul says to the Jews, he says, "God's name is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you." Because of the way the Jews were living, it gave an excuse to the Gentiles to blaspheme the name of the God of the Jews. And so we're warned in the scriptures that by our inconsistency as Christians, we are breaking the command of God. We are taking his name in vain. We're not living up to that name. When we fail to live as those who really belong to Jesus Christ, we dishonor the name of our master. And our actions become a denial of the name that we bear. We can be guilty of this in terms of our church membership vows. And we say whose we are and whom we will serve. And then we fail to live up to those things. Our profession of faith doesn't match up to the life that accompanies it. The commandment that we're considering, it concludes with solemn words of warning. It says that the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. If you accept that you've broken this commandment, well then you need to accept also that God has committed himself to leaving no one unpunished who has done that. God will not hold him guiltless. And that would mean that all of us are heading for certain punishment. God will have to punish us because we have broken this commandment. But the good news of the gospel is that it need not be so. For the law of God is also there, not just to show us our sin, but to send us to the Savior. And in the gospel, there's good news for sinners. There is good news for all of those who haven't used his name properly and who can't use his name properly. And that name that today brings us condemnation can also be the very name that brings us salvation. When the Apostle Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, he quoted the Old Testament prophet Joel. And Joel says that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And that's in Acts 2, verse 21. And in that verse of Scripture, the name means the person. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, will be saved. The name of God condemns us, but the name of God can also be our salvation, the means of our salvation. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. The Puritan writer Thomas Watson wrote as follows. He said, "The devil has two false glasses," as in like a glass, like a magnifying glass. "He has two false glasses which he sets before men's eyes. The one is a little glass in which the sin appears so small that it can hardly be seen, which," he says, "the devil sets before men's eyes when they are going to commit sin. It's such a little, little thing." But then he says, "The other is a great magnifying glass, wherein sin appears so big that it cannot be forgiven." And he says, "The devil sets that before men's eyes when they have sinned." And this is Satan's way. He makes sin out to be such a little, little thing before we commit it. But then when we have sinned, he makes it out to be such a huge thing that it could never, ever possibly be forgiven. And so we need to be aware of the tactics of the devil. And whenever we think that this is something that doesn't really matter, we need to think again. This is no small thing. This is no trivial thing. We need to listen to the voice of God. When God wrote 10 commandments on tablets of stone. When he did it with his own finger, this is one of his 10 commandments. This is the third of his 10 commandments. And God wrote upon that stone that he will not leave unpunished those who break it. He will not do it. There will be no one who breaks this commandment who be left unpunished. There is punishment that God must deliver on. But then equally, we mustn't let the devil fool us into thinking that God could never forgive us if we have misused his name, if we've taken God's name in vain, if we have been guilty of blasphemy. The devil wants us to think that God could never forgive us. No, God tells us that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is the Savior that we need. Jesus loved the name of God. Jesus honored the name of God. He lived a perfect life, and he kept this commandment perfectly for his people. And when we are saved, we come to share in the name of Christ. We are called Christians, and we can use his name. We can call ourselves Christians because we have been given by God that righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus has been given the name that is above every name. And he is the Savior who can deliver us from our sin. And the Scriptures tell us that his name shall endure forever. And when Jesus was teaching us how we are to pray, he taught us we are to pray, "Hallowed be your name." God cares about how his name is used. But God is wonderfully gracious, and God is willing to forgive sinners and bring them into his family, adopt them as his own, and place his name upon us. And we can be brothers and sisters of the Lord Jesus Christ, sons and daughters of Almighty God. We can be those who are called by his name. So let us rejoice in that great name. Let us seek to use that name as we should, to remind people that there is a God, that he is a holy God, and that he is a God who does save sinners, and that everyone who calls on the name of his Son, the Lord Jesus, will be saved. Hallowed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Now, I referred in what I was saying just there at the end to Psalm 72. And Psalm 72, at the end of the psalm, speaks to us about the name of God. And I'm going to read now three verses from the psalm book that we use. It's Psalm 72, and it's the last three stanzas that we have, 14 to 16. And these are verses that you may be able to sing together in your own home. And if you do so, be sure that you think of what you're singing. Be sure that it is the God who is spoken of here that you are praising in your words. I'll read these three verses, and if you're singing, you can pause. And after I read, and you can sing, and then I will close this time with the benediction. Psalm 72, the metrical version. O may his name endure always, long as the sun will last. May men be blessed in him, and may all nations call him blessed. Now blessed be the Lord our God, the God of Israel, for he alone does wondrous works in glory that excel. And blessed be his glorious name to all eternity. O may his glory fill the earth. Amen. So let it be. And now receive the blessing of Almighty God. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of God the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.